For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
We believe and look at your words, Lord, that we know that our eyes are blessed that they do see and our ears blessed that they do hear, and that we can perceive in our hearts and receive and know, and that you heal us by our hearing and receiving of your truth. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today we're looking at the spiritual view. That means having ears to hear and eyes to see and to understand the Word of God. Do you know that God wants us to know what the Bible is talking about? He didn't give the Bible to us in a way that we couldn't understand it. And we know that the Holy Ghost is here to help us in this area. So let's look in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And in Mark, chapter 4, Jesus gives a parable, which I'm not going to read through. Jesus gives a parable about the seed being sown in different kinds of ground. And you should know about that parable, and you can read it yourself in Mark, chapter 4. But the point of the parable is, if you've got a heart ready to receive the Word of God, then that's the best thing, because you're going to, in your life, produce the fruits of that. Now, we're going to start reading. So Jesus tells a parable, and I'll start from verse 9. Jesus says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So, are we ready to have spiritual eyes open when we read the Bible to understand? Are we ready to have spiritual ears open to understand the words of God? Are we ready to know what the Holy Ghost is showing to us? Well, we should expect that. We should expect to understand. It shouldn't be that we are looking at the Bible or coming to church and it's all just a complete mystery and unknown to us and it's beyond comprehension. No, we should be having quick understanding to know what is the truth and what is God telling us. Verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." It's the one about sowing seeds and the weeds and the thistles and things. And verse 11 says, "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Now, this is very important because Jesus is telling us that he wants us to know. God wants us to know the meaning of his message to us. God's not keeping his knowledge from us. He wants us to be able to see, to have spiritual enlightenment, to understand, to know what is the hope of his calling. Now, what is he telling us? It shouldn't be books of the Bible that are just, it's just words. It has to be that we're getting things from the Word of God, that we understand about the Word of God, and it's a living truth within us, written in us in a living way. And so Jesus is saying, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." This reminds us of, in the book of James, he says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, is God holding back wisdom? No, he says that he gives liberally and upbraideth not. He is wanting you to understand. We should expect and know that, okay, there's some things that we need to know about, or there's a passage here, or what does that mean? Well, God wants you to understand. And yes, there's a growth that happens with us. There's a development that happens just like a child grows up to a full-grown person. In such a way, we develop in our own spiritual knowledge about Bible doctrines. But we should be able to become exercised and very wise in knowing and understanding Bible doctrines. We should be a good and developed person in knowing what is God saying, what does that mean. Let's go on down and verse 13, he says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Now, this parable was specifically about receiving the Word of God in a good heart and that the production or the results of the Word of God in your life would be good fruits. If you can understand that, having a hearing ear to receive the words, because that's what he talks about in the actual parable, and I'll explain that verse 20, Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown on good grounds." The Word of God comes into a good heart, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice that it's about hearing the word is not just what we'll call auditory stimulation. It's not just words coming into your eardrums and, you know, it's just words. Hearing means receiving it in. So what we're talking about today is this hearing or seeing as well. It's the same area of being able to discern and understand and to, when you read the Bible, to interpret properly and to come to right doctrines, that you have an inner eyes, a spiritual way of seeing that is able to perceive clearly and properly, you know, what is God telling us? What is the right thing? So we can hear it, we accept it, and we understand it, and we can see it, and we are able to perceive properly and therefore judge or understand how to categorize things properly. And the wisdom of that is, if you know principles of the Word of God, you not only know them, but then you know how to put them into practice. So it's not just saying, well, I can actually understand. He's telling me I should hear and receive his words, and that's going to build me up on the inside. But also you'll see, well, how to do that and how then to put that into practice and carry it out. That is, I will become a being that's a word being that's not just within, but what's going to come out of my mouth, what's going to come out of your mouth is Word of God and both confessions of Scripture and things in line with Scripture. So you can see the mechanism of how it happens. Now, what we're actually going to get into today is about understanding how to interpret the Bible, that we're looking at this from a spiritual way. People teach how to understand or interpret the Bible by turning to different passages and showing different principles from Scripture, and we can do that. But also we have to come from the basis that the Holy Ghost is here to guide us into all truth. He's leading us somewhere. So we need both things. We need to say, yes, I turn in the Bible and I can see principles. Here we see principles like you've got to have a hearing heart. That's a receptive one to yes, take hold of the Word of God. But also you've got to do it on the basis that God's not communicating to you for you not to understand, but he is communicating to you for you to understand. And that's why from verse 21 he says, "And he said unto them, is a candle brought," you know, bringing a candle into a room, "brought to be put under a bushel?" You know, do you put it underneath the basket or something? Do you cover up the light? Or under a bed? And not to sit on a candlestick? So, of course, you know, put the light on to light up an area. You don't put the light on to cover up the light. Verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this again is the principle, what the Holy Ghost is on about today with us, and has been with the believers through history. Verse 22 is very important because it's a principle that says that yes, there's things in the Bible, things which might be hard to understand, or things that haven't, like prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet, or more advanced things about how to walk in love or whatever. But the Bible is telling us, for there is nothing hid, there's nothing spiritually hid, there's nothing that the Holy Ghost is going to do, there's nothing that he promised in the Bible from old times, which shall not be manifested. In other words, it has to come to pass. It has to be. It has to come abroad. It has to shine out like a light. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And do you know that the coming of the Lord Jesus in his first coming, when he came to Bethlehem, you know, as a baby, that we know that that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Yet anyone with the Old Testament may not have worked it all out. I would expect that most people didn't work it out. You know, you could have been living hundreds of years beforehand. You could have worked out something. Oh yes, you know, there's a prince coming, for example. You could work that out. But you wouldn't work out all the bits and pieces about everything. And that's because it was kept secret by God. It was there. You know, the book of Isaiah, we can read there. There's a whole prophecy in Isaiah 53 about Jesus suffering for us and, you know, please God to smite him and all this. Now, people could have read that and it's like, what does this mean? They couldn't have a very full understanding necessarily. Yet the promise of the scripture here is, there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So in other words, all these promises or prophecies or different passages or principles of scripture, that has to all come out. And there's a good example for us today that there's a doctrine today known as prosperity doctrine. Well, that's saying that God wants to bless his people. But if you go back into the past, into early Protestant times, you'll find that there wasn't many Christians that were understanding those doctrines very well. And as you come now in time, it's coming more and more known. That's because those hidden things, it wasn't because God doesn't want us to know, but it was hidden, but it is being made manifest. Those right doctrines or right understandings are coming out in different teaching areas of Scripture. So that's the promise for us. God's not holding things back from us. He's wanting to show us things. He wants us to have a spiritual view and understanding of Scripture. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about the gospel. And the gospel itself is a message, obviously, that many people don't fully understand. And they haven't had a hearing ear properly to receive it, even if the gospel's been around. And there's a reason for that as well. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world, talking about in the people that don't believe, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it likens the gospel message, which is a set of ideas, that's what the gospel actually is, it's good news, glad tidings. Well, that's a message, it's not just some feeling, it's actually a set of ideas. And the set of ideas includes the idea that, you know, God is a judge, he's sent a word as a standard, people haven't met up with it, what can you do? Jesus was sent as the payment to pay for the wrath of God invoked by sin because everyone was violating that standard of the word of God, the law of God. And now if you receive the resurrection of Christ and his power in your life, which we do receive, we understand that there is power to walk in newness of life because not only did he die for us to pay the penalty, but also he lives in us to empower us to live a right life. Now that's good news. But how many people really understand that? If you went to churches, how many people professing to follow Jesus actually have an understanding of that? Well, the sad reality at the moment is that not everyone does. In fact, probably not so many. But yet that's the basic gospel. And how much more is there all the benefits of the gospel that are there for them, such as the healing that we should have and the prosperity? And here we're talking about understanding the Bible and understanding what is God saying and doing, and wisdom. These things belong to us. There's nothing hid. There's nothing that's secret or mysterious that shouldn't be made known to us, that God would reveal to us. The Holy Ghost is leading and guiding his people into all truth. And if we go down to verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice now that the apostles, and this is true today, are preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. So how is Jesus Christ being revealed today to people? is not because he's shining out of heaven. You know, he's not coming on the clouds and everyone's looking, oh, there's Jesus, I better believe this message about him. There's not angels flying around in the air on earth right now causing great disturbance that everyone would see and know, well, we're seeing angels and it's, you know, very, you know, confronting or whatever. No, it tells us here that apostles and ministers and Christians are preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. So how is the person that was in the darkness perceiving the light? It's because ministers and people are speaking Jesus Christ the Lord. They're manifesting Jesus by a message. They're saying this is who he is, because this Bible's got the whole explanation about what you need to know. Now, it doesn't tell us what colour Jesus' beard hair is or something like that, although you could interpret and find out some things about his, you know, brass skin or whatever. But we don't need to know those kinds of things. We don't need to go and have made statues and have Jesus with blue eyes or brown eyes or whatever. Those points are irrelevant. Those points are nothing to do with actually what the gospel's about. Oh, you know, what coloured eyes does he have? No, it's about, well, what do we see revealed about Christ in the gospel? Who is he? What's he on about? What does he want us to do? He wants to live through us. That's the message of God. So the superficial things that people of the world have ever, you know, been concerned about Jesus Christ are not the things of the gospel to be concerned about, but what the gospel's concerned about is about what is the message of Christ. You know, it tells us that what his voice is like, yes, but what's the implication of that is that there's power in his words, not, oh, well, that was a majestic sounding voice, which is beautiful, I'm sure, but rather, what is the content of what he's saying and what impact does that have? See, that's the power of the gospel, is what you understand and receive and perceive and lay hold of in action based on interpreting or understanding what you perceive. You see, that's where the Holy Ghost is helping you, because the Holy Ghost is there to point you to Jesus. And we have ministers on earth preaching, not themselves, oh, I'm Apostle Paul, I'm a wonderful man. No, he's not preaching himself, he's preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's the message today of Christianity, preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. And in that preaching, or in that service of preaching, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we're the mechanism or vessel by which Christ is able to speak to people. So it's not Jesus appearing to people in visions, or, you know, Jesus coming out of the clouds to talk to people. It's ministers ministering and preaching the word and doing the church activities. And by that, people are connecting with Jesus Christ the Lord. They're able to understand his message. They're able to grow in him because they become part of the body of Christ, because God becomes their father. God the Father becomes their father. And the Holy Ghost is there helping them and leading them, because the church congregation is a real place where the Holy Ghost can move to do stuff to help people, one another, because it can help or work through different people, because each person's got gifts that profit the whole. That is, one person's got a gift in certain areas that helps everyone else, and that's how it should be working. Now, verse 6 gives us the spiritual principle that we're talking about, which is the spiritual view, because he says in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So this verse 6 is very important, because it's telling us, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Now, when did God do that? Well, I can tell you that most, you know, Christians who know really anything, they would know that God said that at the beginning, didn't he? You'd start reading Genesis chapter 1, and pretty soon you'd see, you know, verse 3, God saying, "Let there be light." So the God who commanded light out to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, is showing us that the God who declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure," that God that God who says in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, is not just talking about, therefore, creation, which is 100% true, that he did say that and light really did it come into physical appearance, but also is telling us that there's a principle, the very principle we're talking about, which is that knowledge is shed abroad. But it's not knowledge, you know, for example, we know right now that radios, everywhere radio signals are bouncing around everywhere, right now. Just all these radio signals are bouncing about. So it's not just God shining that light, but what do you need? You need a receiver and you need to tune it in to pick it up, whatever signal you want to pick up. So, yes, right now the radio signals are everywhere, floating around, you know, flying around. In that manner, God, who commanded the light to shine out darkness, has shined very specifically a shining light of the gospel to the world. Do you know that light really is shining to the world right now? Doesn't matter, maybe it seems a bit dim to people. Nevertheless, it is shining. And it is shining because churches exist, people are on TV, books have been published, the internet's right now, you know, people can log online, you know, just go on the internet. It's not hard to find the gospel, it's around, it's pretty much anywhere around, more and more. But what's the issue here is what Jesus talked about hearts, you know, receiving the word in good ground hearts, hearing it, because he says, he that hath ears to hear. Evidently then, there's something wrong with everyone's receptors, that their heart's not receptive to not only hear it, but lay hold of it. Now remember, the ministers are preaching Jesus Christ. So they're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the message of Christ, but that's how Christ is manifest to people. So if you want to have an encounter with Jesus today, it's not fall on the ground and have this vision, oh, I saw, you know, an image of Jesus appear on the wall. And that's not what we should be focusing on. Now, that can happen. We don't deny that miracles and manifestations have happened occasionally, or people have had a vision. But that's not what the focus is on. The focus is on that ministers and you yourself reading the Bible can perceive and receive Jesus by reading the words or hearing them spoken, and by the Holy Ghost giving you that insight in line with that. The Holy Ghost is not revealing a different Jesus to what the Bible says. If a spirit is revealing something different, that revelation is a false revelation. I can tell you right now, because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and the Word, they agree, don't they? Because you wouldn't have difference between the Scripture and the Holy Ghost. Those two things must be completely in agreement. So we see in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that the same God who commanded that, and the light didn't hold back, the light didn't say, well, I decide for myself not to shine. No, it was inevitable. The light must shine. In so likewise manner, the gospel knowledge must shine abroad, shines, and it's shining out of the hearts and in the hearts of believers. And what's it doing? Well, as people receive it, now ministers are ministering that light, obviously, by what they're saying and doing. But that light, what's it doing? It says to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So it's not the glory of God. People in Pentecostal circles have got into this doctrine of, oh, well, like this cloud came and filled Solomon's temple and you couldn't stand up. In like manner, it will just be so beyond my comprehension, I just cannot be but, you know, somehow possessed like a marionette puppet and just under the control of this other spirit, and so shall it be to God's glory. Well, that's a wrong doctrine. The Bible doesn't talk like that. When it says about people being moved by the Spirit, it's always that they are, well, the Spirit's not just moving you without your mind moving your hand. You know, Elijah or Elisha or any prophet didn't just do things willlessly. Oh, well, you know, God just took over and I had no control. No, but rather that they allowed themselves to be the vessels, and they spoke and they said. You know, there's in fact, you can study that out if you want to. But Jeremiah, he thought, oh, I won't give the prophecies, I'll shut my mouth. Well, do you know that the Spirit of God is burning within him? It's like you can't help, like, He has to speak it out. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving and it requires that you speak it out. It requires the actions coming out. You can't hold it in. That's like trying to hold back the floods, trying to hold it back. It's hard to do that. You're really resisting God. It's got to go out. It's got to be like the steam train letting the steam out. It's just got to, you know, otherwise it just doesn't go. And so here we see the ministers and the shining of the light is shining, verse 6, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So the glory of God isn't merely some experience, isn't merely, oh, it's so wonderful, isn't merely that, but it's knowledge, it's actions that correspond with that. It's things, yes, things made right and made beautiful, but it's in line with the word and knowledge. So prosperity doesn't happen without knowledge. And you can study Proverbs to find that out, because it's by wisdom that your house is filled with treasures. It's not, oh, accidentally, somehow, I don't know how, just gold rained out of heaven on me and that was it. It's not like that. It's all about you do the right thing, you put into practice principles. Yes, miracles can happen, but there's principles of the kingdom of God which work. And this is the way that it is. So the light giving, here we see the giving of light, isn't because you kept your mouth shut or didn't do anything. The light giving is God has done something. God didn't do nothing. He spoke. Okay, so automatically he's speaking an action, an act of his will, had results. That is, light shone. In like manner, the gospel, as it shines out, as we preach and speak the word, as we live out the word in our lives, as we turn to the Bible, have an expectancy, there's nothing in this Bible that's hidden from me, the Holy Ghost is not holding things back from me, so likewise we can come and do come into understanding here to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then verse 7 says, but we have this treasure, this light, it's not somewhere extra above, but it's in earthen vessels. It's in your life right now. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So God in his supernatural workings is working through fleshly, flesh and blood beings. It's not God preaching the gospel around with angels. It's not that the apostles were higher above the level of physical beings. It's not that ministers, any great minister you can think of, any great preacher, whether it was, you know, more recent ministers, Protestant ministers like John Wesley or Kenneth Hagin, or any minister, Smith Wigglesworth, anyone you can name as a minister, they weren't operating above the physical world. So we're obviously all living as men in the world, all preachers, all Christians. We're living here in a physical universe. But what we're doing here is we're allowing this knowledge of God that's within us to read the Bible and understand it and to speak the words have an impact that starts to override just the mere natural things. And by that, we mean that the words of God to bring healing override the sickness or the curse of the devil or those things. Now, the curse and the sickness and the works of the devil aren't just out of control, rampant by themselves. They're happening because the Word of God said they would happen. And so if the Word of God says, you know, basically if you disobey the Word of God or you're outside of the Word of God, that the curse comes on you, then you know you've got the thing that makes it right, because you've got the Word of God that says if you do these things, if you act righteously, you know, if you hear and be diligent and do the Word of God, I mean, you just have to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to see about, you know, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God and do those things, those commandments, which he commands you this day, if you know keeping the word or being righteous is where the blessings come, then you know that's all you have to do. It's not anything strange or mysterious, and yet it's been a great mystery apparently to many Christians about why bad things are happening. And they've come up with all kinds of excuses about how God has sent things to test them and whatever, which is completely out of line with the word of God's revelation. And so we see the Holy Ghost is here to guide and lead us in truth, in right paths. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. in Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple," so you can be educated, "to the young man knowledge and discretion," so you can even be further educated, "a wise man will hear." Well, he's very educated. And what does he do? He will. That's a choice. He will hear. Now, hearing, as I said at the start, is not just words or sounds bouncing around and hitting your ears. A wise man will hear means he'll receive it within him. What's he receiving? The word of God, truth, the teachings from God, the Spirit of God leadings. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Do you know that every hidden thing, the things that Jesus said that people couldn't understand at the time, or prophecies in the book of Isaiah or any other passage, that those things are not hidden away or locked away from us? No, it says here that a second half of that verse 5, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We can come into knowledge and understanding. We attain unto that. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Well, it seems dark if you're not educated. It seems hard, some parts of the Bible. You know, there's a few chapters here and there or areas people had struggles with, even commentators and so on in the past have looked at them and come up with all these different ideas. But God is able to reveal. Well, he's not just able to. He wants to reveal things. He wants you to learn and understand. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know the wise and their dark sayings. Why? Because they're only dark because you're not at that comprehension level. Well, the Holy Ghost, it says that the Spirit, he knoweth the mind of the Spirit, doesn't he? I mean, it's not like the Holy Ghost doesn't know his own mind. The Holy Ghost, he's got a level of intelligence that is the God level because he is God. Therefore, he's able to reveal, because that's what he wants to do to you, things of understanding, of knowledge, of wisdom. And therefore those sayings or parts of the Bible or how to interpret the Bible, what does it mean or what does God want or anything like that, God is able to show us, and he promises in many passages to do that for us to understand and see what things he has for us. In another sermon coming up, I'll continue on this subject matter. But we'll close with prayer now, and then we'll go to the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you that you are not holding things back from us, but you've put things in the Bible and are speaking through the Spirit for us. I pray that we have those ears, that receptiveness to receive from you. I pray in the name of Jesus.